Welcome to Slash Sanitarium. I am Troy, and I'm having an existential crisis. You see, I started this podcast and I was like, this is great. I'll be able to watch some cool fucking movies. I'll be able to talk about them. And then I made the mistake of committing to do the Final Destination series. Now, the first movie I really enjoy, second movie I enjoy, I'm not going to say the same thing about this one. And I have two more of these to do. What am I doing with my life? Well, while I go contemplate suicide, why don't you listen to this? Awesome. Go check that out. Maybe they won't be as down as I am. Anyways, the Slash Sanitarium podcast is brought to you by the Questionable Endeavor Network, where we've got a ton of podcasts with hosts that are far more happy to be doing this show on a daily basis, weekly basis, whatever the fuck it is. Who cares? Email the show, theslashsanitarium@gmail.com. My inbox is full of cobwebs and spiders because nobody's ever emailed me. Follow us on Twitter @slasherpodcast. We've got like 30 people. I know that there's a couple more of you that actually listen, so, you know, follow me. And also like our Facebook page. Visit us, patreon.com/slasherpodcast to support and keep me from killing myself. If you wish to sponsor the Slasher Sanitarium, please head over to advertisecast.com/824. I will be more than happy to shout out your shit. All right. Let's get into this shit. Spoopy credits begin this movie. This time, it just shows shots of carnival rides and a fortune teller machine pointing to the death card. The music is trying to be epic and has screams intercut into it. A really bad CGI pinball is shown clanking around, and I'm already regretting watching this movie. We enter the movie proper and get three people on a ride. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is standing at the bottom taking pictures. She sees that her picture of High Dive is missing the V. So it says High Dive, which isn't a real thing. She checks to see that it's only in the picture, and now that is something that most people would laugh at and be like, oh, that's kind of weird. It must have flashed while I was doing it. But instead, she looks at it like it just said, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, you're going to die. Some dude tackles her. I guess her boyfriend. And his friend have a conversation where they say the word kill about 20 times in under 1 minute. As they want to ride the Devil's Mountain Ride. I don't know what the fuck it's called. Something with devil. This is the second movie I've done with Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it. The other one was the remake of The Thing, or the new prequel-ish, I don't know. This time her name is Wendy Christensen. She gets freaked out looking at the roller coaster, and I don't blame her. That shit is scary. She puts down her camera, and Kevin, her boyfriend's friend, grabs it. He says that it is she says it's the yearbook's camera, which means that 21-year-old Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing a high school student in this movie. Kevin is played by Ryan Merriman, who is 23, and is best known for being in this movie. Yep. He takes a picture up some girl's skirt, which is sexual harassment. Kevin's girlfriend is not happy. Wendy says that she's a control freak, because we need exposition, as the boys grab their food. Kevin's girlfriend says she is breaking up with him soon. He directs their attention to two women sitting at a game, one of those little clown games where you shoot water into the mouth, and they are both sporting whale tails. This movie is 2006, and we still have visible thongs going on. You can hear somebody say, check out those booties. We are 5 minutes in, and so far this movie has been pretty rapey. These two are clearly only here to provide us with titties later in the movie, which I am sadly okay with. They're played by Keelan Simmons and Crystal Lowe, who are 20 and 22 years old at this point when this was filmed, so at least so far everyone's been 23 or under playing 17-year-olds, so not clearly as bad as some other ones. But wait, spoiler alert, it's going to get worse. The two of them hug because they won. They won like a big inflatable palm tree, and Wendy takes a picture of them. Kevin and some black guy start dancing. racist, Winnie takes a picture of them when her younger sister walks up. She flips Wendy the double birds, and Wendy, of course, takes a picture. Julie, played by Amanda Crew, is just 1 year younger than Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Louis Romero is seen winning a game and dancing, because he's black. He is played by 31-year-old Texas Battle. Subtle reminder, each of these people are playing a 17-year-old high school senior. 31-year-old Texas Battle. Wendy takes a picture of Lewis. This is important, of course. He launches the bell off the top of the strongman game, so that's pretty shoddy construction. I would already be leery about going on a roller coaster if they can't even attach a bell to a wooden pole. Candyman can be heard laughing, and he says, "You can run, but you can't hide, bitch." He is the voice of the giant devil statue on top of the roller coaster. Wendy takes another picture of her boyfriend, who they still have not named. And such I cannot figure out who he is. Oh, there it is. He is Jason, played by Jesse Moss. A good deal of these actors are actually in Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, which I should review for the podcast at some point. Enter Frankie, played by 28-year-old Sam Easton. He wants the Scissor Sisters to pretend to cup the devil's balls for a picture. Frankie is very rapey. They claim he graduated 2 years ago, so I guess that's okay? No, it's not okay. It's not. None of that is okay. Wendy starts to do the react like everything is saying, "Wendy, you're about to die," that every main character of Final Destination does. She's pretty freaked out. Aaron, played by 20-year-old Alex Z, A-L-E-X-Z. What is that fucking Z doing there? Alex Z Johnson and Ian McKinley, played by 28-year-old Chris Lemich? I don't give a fuck. He's some nobody at this point. Are introduced and they try to calm Wendy down, even though they don't seem to really know her or interact with her. Frankie is still trying to hit on the two skanks. He licks a necklace in the shape of a woman. Oops, I forgot Kevin's girlfriend is Carrie Dreyer, played by 30-year-old Gina Holden. Gina's been in some things, and she will actually make an appearance in the Saw franchise, but not in any of the good Saw movies. Oh, that's right, I just committed I was going to be doing the Saw franchise, which gets really bad really fucking quick. I think it's in the third movie that it starts getting bad too. So at least they're consistent with franchises. They decide who will sit in back, and it's Kevin and Wendy, because Wendy will not sit in the front. I'm with you, girl. I wouldn't sit in front of a fucking thing anyways, because if something's going to come flying at you, it's going to happen in the front. Also, if somebody in front of you lets something go, you're going to get it anyways. That's exactly why I don't go on roller coasters. Her boyfriend and Kevin's boyfriend will sit up front. We have Jason and Carrie in the front row. Frankie sneaks into row 6 to take Kevin's seat so he can sit behind the Ashley and Ashlyn is her name. So the Ash girls, we'll call them. Or the girls who like Ash. Kevin and Wendy take their seats. The padded support clamps come down on everyone. Lewis's do not go down all the way, so the attendant pushes them down, which causes a crack in the hydraulic line. Frankie requests that the girls flash him those sweet, sweet titties. Wendy takes a photo, but the attendant stops her because you cannot bring loose objects or cameras on a fucking roller coaster, you dumb shits. Kevin requests if he can just put it in his pocket, which he does, and the attendant is okay with this. Frankie, also, despite not being close enough to hear this conversation, puts away his camera as well. Frankie has been flashing this fucking camera around the entire time. The attendants do not see him with the camera, but they see Wendy. Kevin sticks his hand in gum, and the ride starts up. We see another shot of the hydraulic line leaking. Spoiler alert, this is going to be the cause of the accident. Frankie takes his camera back out before they are even clear of the attendants. These guys are not good at their job, because they don't seem to care. The ride begins to climb to the top of the coaster. This takes a long fucking time. And finally we're off. Everyone is screaming as the ride gets into gear, and we hear some creaking from the ride as they go upside down. Frankie requests to see some more titties, and Ashley slaps the camera. Nope, I think this one's Ashlyn. Ashlyn slaps the camera out of his hand. It falls and comically wraps itself around the tracks below, because fuck physics. The coaster then proceeds to run over his camera, which ignites the hydraulic fluid. So this whole thing is Frankie's fault. And the attendants are not noticing Frankie. It's also the attendant's fault because they didn't notice Frankie's camera. The hydraulic line snaps off, which causes everyone's restraints to pop back up. Now you're fucked. Everyone is frantically clawing at the restraints to stay alive. Suddenly, one of the wheels pops off. Now, if this is because they ran over the camera, I guess I'm okay with it. But if this is just Death kind of being a dick, I don't know. It's thin. Things are somehow going to get much worse, though. The front car detaches and sends Carrie and Jason and, like, two other cars behind him flying off the tracks. A bunch of other people go over, but I don't think it was any of our principal cast. Lewis falls out the side of his car, but manages to hang on. They go for a little bit more, and then he lets go. He flies back and slams into Kevin. Kevin amazingly grabs him, and Kevin lets go as a giant chunk of the coaster comes flying. It almost hits Ian and Aaron, and then it slams into Lewis. Lewis then slams into the side of the tracks and falls to his doom, and the metal piece knocks a pipe out. So at this point, we have Carrie, Jason, then Lewis as our deaths. Everyone else seems to be alive. The coaster stops at the top of the loop, leaving everyone upside down. Aaron and Ian are hanging on to their seat before Ian drops. Then Aaron follows. Then two more faceless people drop. Wait a second. Where did Frankie and the Whore Twins go? How did I miss them dying? Kevin and Wendy are the only ones left. That's really bugging me. The coaster flies back down the tracks, and Kevin is severed in half by the pipe that Lewis's body broke off. Terrible CGI as the coaster hits the broken track, launches everything off the tracks, including Wendy. Now, hold on a second. I need to watch that again. Okay, I'm back. So they never showed Frankie, Ashlyn, or Ashley dying. They're just gone. I've watched this shit 3 times, and they never show them dying. One scene they're there, screaming. Next scene they're gone. Like, they show them screaming, then Lewis falls out of the side, and they're just not there anymore. So I'm assuming at some point in time they were supposed to show them dying and then just cut it, maybe? I don't know. Also, this is kind of the worst opening scene so far. So many deaths are just people falling off screen. You see like 2 people die in this whole thing. Everyone else is just like, ah! And are gone. Like you see Lewis kind of slam it aside, but even he falls to his death. The only one you really see is Kevin get severed in half. So it's very fucking weak. So our death order, which it's not actually going to matter in this, is Jason, Carrie, Lewis, I guess Frankie, and the girls go here, or maybe before Lewis, I don't know. Then Ian, Aaron, Kevin, and Wendy. Wendy flashes back, and she is back where Kevin put her camera in his pocket. Wendy flips out saying, "It's gonna crash." I really don't like that. I don't like that. The whole premise of this shit is to watch people die. And you have 3 people that you had an opportunity to kill, and nothing. You didn't do it. Anyways. Alright. Wendy flips out saying they're gonna crash, and they release the entire back half of the ride, which would be everyone except for Carrie and Jason, and a bunch of nameless people that don't matter. Lewis asks Kevin to control that bitch, then openly mocks her. Just a reminder, this is a world where twice publicly there have been stories about something having a premonition near this fucking school, mind you, and it came true. Twice this has happened. And still, everyone else is just like, well, this is weird. I guess I'm not going on this right now. Like, I would be like, no, tell me, is it bad? Am I gonna, the way that I die, is it bad? Because I'm pretty sure I'd rather take this death than whatever the fuck is going to happen to me out in that world after you save me. So I'm going to get back on this ride. you go ahead and enjoy the last couple of weeks of your life before you are brutally ripped in half by wolves or whatever like that. I'm just going to die here and be done with it. I don't need death coming after me. That's not cool. Lewis and Kevin fight, and Lewis backhands Aaron, which means that Ian jumps in. Colquitt, the ride manager, which I looked up, he's I don't know why he has a name, but he does, refuses to let Jason off the ride. You can't do that, bro. You can't be like, nobody else gets off this ride. Look, if people want to get off the ride, they can get off the fucking ride. You can't force them to go on a ride. That's against the law. Ashlyn and Ashley get off the ride, and of course, Frankie follows. A bunch of people who are about to die chant, hey ho, let's go. Wendy hears the ride start up and screams, the tracks are broken. But of course, the attendants do nothing. Jason, Carrie, then die, while everyone watches. Question, how did they crash? What we saw was, so yes, the hydraulic thing, yeah, it started to come off, it started to leak or stuff like that. But the crash started because of Frankie's camera, which is now no longer on the ride. This is why the first two movies had something that can conceivably continue to have the thing happen. With a plane crash, I mean, it was a mechanical failure. With the highway crash, it's a log truck, and that guy survives. So, and he still goes and drives, and the logs fall off the truck. It causes the accident to happen a different way, of course, but it still happens. This doesn't make any fucking sense because the wheels all getting fucked up and everything like that was because of the camera. Now, I know that there was a piece of broken track later on, but I don't know. It's not good writing. Anyways, you know, bummer for all of those people that died. Cut to a rainy day, and Wendy is in an empty school. She grabs shit out of her locker, including a picture of Jason, and we see a memorial for the 8 people who died, which would have been 16, by the way. So stop looking so fucking morose. The wind monster returns to blow out a candle, and he's actually doing them a favor, because why would you have a bunch of lit candles in an abandoned fucking school? There's nobody in this hall, and there's like 27 candles around a bunch of fucking paper and shit like that. Like, school's out for summer, bro, and it's burning down. Kevin catches up with Wendy, and we find out it's graduation day. Wendy proceeds to be pretty dark here. Kevin said he is here for Wendy, and then Wendy's a dick to him, despite the fact that he's trying to be nice. Dude, you should see the way that Alex got treated, then maybe you'd be a little nicer to Kevin. Ian is upset that his last name is the same as the high school he went to. Julie sees her sister, and Ashlyn wants to invite Wendy to go tanning with them. Wendy is a cunt to them and crumples up the paper. So the writer of this was like, hey, I watched the first movie, and the way that everyone treated Alex, let's go ahead and reverse it and have the main character treat everyone she saved that way. She'll totally be likable, I promise you. Kevin used the internet to watch the first two Final Destination movies and tells Wendy about Alex and his dead friends, as well as explaining yet again the premise of skipping people, which this movie is about to fucking throw away in the garbage later. Kevin also says that everyone started to die unless someone intervened. Wendy tells him to fuck off and leaves because she's a bitch. Ashlyn and Ashley arrive for a tan.
Get ready for some tits.
I legit forgot how the order of deaths was determined because clearly it's not forward or reverse. Nobody saved Wendy, so she should be first, followed by Kevin. And the first to die was maybe Frankie or Lewis. And the girls were near the middle, so let's see how death has decided to roll this time. While I was typing all that, Wendy was trying to open up to Julie about not saving her boyfriend. You know, you saved 7 other people, but I guess fuck them, because they weren't important as the guy you wanted to fuck. Julie wants to use the camera, but Wendy says the battery is low, so she will recharge it. She turns it on to see the last picture she took, Jason. Tanning salon guy comes back in and uses a crushed up Coke can to block his door. Maybe just spring for a fucking doorstop, or for a door that doesn't automatically lock. Yuri tells the girls to set them that they can set themselves up. He does try to stop them from bringing in drinks, but Ashlyn's kind of a bitch and doesn't. I'm also going to admit at this point in time, I don't actually know their names. I know one of them is Ashlyn, one of them is Ashley. I didn't care to look it up. Yuri this time uses a bottle of tanning lotion to prop the door open. I don't know what happened to his Coke can. That seemed to work just fine last time. Back to Wendy, who looks over at a bobblehead of Joey Ramone. Why? I don't know. The wind monster enters her room. The dumbfuck twins set the timers to 15 minutes. I don't think you'd put the controls in those rooms. Now, I will admit that at one point in time, I did actually do some tanning in a tanning salon. First of all, they don't put these controls in the room, so you can't fucking destroy yourself and give yourself cancer. Second, 15 minutes is a long fucking time. The door continues to close in order to lock Yuri out. Wendy downloads the pictures off the camera, and she sees what appears to be the tracks going into Jason's head. He didn't die by the tracks going into his head, though. I guess she takes it as a sign, but I've never been able to figure this out. I guess maybe they look like they're kind of like hanging off the sign, but it's not clear enough to be like, this was it. Ashlyn, by the way, I have no idea who this fucking witch was, but I could check IMDb, but I don't give a shit who is who. Brunette asks why it is so cold in the rooms and turns up the temperature. They also shouldn't have the temperature controls in the room because those are specifically set to make sure that you don't fucking sweat your balls off while you're doing that, while you're tanning. We also see that the bed should never be set above 250. Good to know. Wendy is staring at the photo. Back over, and Blonde calls Brunette a bitch again. And she is looking for CDs on the shelf and loosens a shelf, which is above the tanning bed. All right, now I'm going to get into it. All right. Why are there two tanning beds in one room? I do not believe that any tanning salon has two beds in the same fucking room. First of all, that's not economical, because most people do not want to go tanning at the same time as somebody else in the same fucking room. Second, that's an incredible drain on one circuit in a room. Also, why do you have a fucking shelf above that? You should have nothing above those fucking tanning beds. I understand this place seems a little fucking little ganky, but again, this is clearly here so we can have two fucking people die at the same time and we can have two pairs of tits in the same fucking room. Brunette takes her bra off. We get some nice tits. And Blonde also takes off her bra. More nice tits. Brunette asks why she's wearing underwear, and Blonde says that her boyfriend gets off of tan lines. They close their tanning beds as the door locks Yuri outside. Oh boy. Both girls are dancing in the beds, which is not a smart thing to do. Also, they're singing the song Roller Coaster, which I call bullshit on. First of all, I don't believe that anyone knows the fucking words to Roller Coaster of Love. Second, I doubt that these two fucking superficial bitches know that this song exists and also would sing to it. And also, the point of this is to try to get an even tan. And dancing around and putting your hands up in front of other body parts is going to make you kind of blotchy and not as good. But whatever. Still calling bullshit on the fucking song. But of course, tits and they jiggle, blah, 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 blah. Blonde's drink that she's smuggled in now begins to drip water, and it drips on the tanning bed mechanism and begins to short it out. For some reason, if you get water on these things, it proceeds to start jacking up the VAC number? VAC? I don't know. Back up to Wendy, and she's looking through the photos, and each of them seems to foreshadow the deaths of our cast. So instead of doing cool little visions throughout the show, or doing like little things in the background like, oh, the fridge magnets say I, we're literally just going to be like, every single one of the pictures that she took at the beginning of this fucking movie is going to be our signs. This movie is making me sick. I could edit that out, but I'm not going to fucking do it. The tanning bitches appear to be on fire, though. Back to the titty twins, and we see that the tanning beds slowly upticks to 250 VAC. exactly what we were warned that shouldn't happen. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. Also, the thermostat starts to go up for no fucking reason, because there's no water that dropped on this thing. Blonde has her hands up near her face to dance this entire time, meaning that her chest is not going to get very tan. Put your fucking arms down. Brunette starts to get sticky, because it's, you know, she's sweating. I'm pretty sure that despite the size of Blonde's tits, that they are real, so I'm glad of that, because if they were not, it would not make much sense. But again, I have watched movies, legitimate movies, before you start getting on my case. I've watched legitimate movies where, like, a chick's supposed to be 17 and she's got fake tits. And you're just like, who paid for those? Jesus Christ. I just talked, like, way too long about titties. Upon further inspection, yes, they're real, and also she is Ashley. Ashlyn and Ashley are both very sweaty now, and the AC kicks in, but that doesn't seem to do anything, so I'm not sure why it kicked in. Ashlyn admits that she set it too hot. The AC blows over a coat rack, somehow, and that knocks over the shelf, which falls on top of Ashley's bed. As soon as she tries to open the door, it causes the board to slide and fall between the two beds, perfectly wedging itself between both doors. It's like you're not even trying anymore. Now we get a shot of both girls trying to open their beds and jiggling all over the place. The glass breaks in Ashley's bed, and it begins to burn her, as Ashlyn also begins to burn. We now see why Ashley is wearing underwear, so we can get some full body shots of her kicking around. The beds begin to deform and break. Ashley falls under it, and they both light on fire and roast alive. They then smash cut to the two of them being buried right next to each other. Why would they be buried right next to each other? That doesn't make any sense. They're not related. They'd be buried with the rest of their families, who I doubt were right next to each other as well. So why are they be buried right next to each other? Ian interrupts the funeral. He says that the girls didn't make it to 18, so we just watched the tits of two 17-year-old girls. Thanks, Final Destination. Now I feel bad about jerking off. Frankie says it's all his fault because he sees women as nothing but fun bags. He thinks that they were tanning to look good for him. Frankie then tries to kiss Wendy. This is a hella rapey movie. Lewis asks Kevin to bring him a PSP at his funeral so he has something to do. That makes no sense. You'd be dead. Wendy then calls Kevin to say she is with Jay, and we see that she is actually sitting about 10 feet away in his direct line of sight, so I'm not sure how he didn't see her. Kevin and Wendy have a heart-to-heart, and the wind monster breaks up their conversation. She shows Kevin a shot of Abraham Lincoln, where the frame broke, and then she shows a picture of the World Trade Center with a shadow over it. Now, the one with Abraham Lincoln with a frame broke, well, there's been a million pictures of Abraham Lincoln, first of all. Second, the World Trade Center picture, there was a ton of planes that went around that path. There's a ton of pictures with fucking shadows over it. There are ads from the 60s where they superimpose a shadow of a fucking plane over the World Trade Center. That doesn't mean that it was a premonition for it. That just means it was coincidence. She then shows a picture of the car crash from the second movie. Now this is the only reference to the second movie that we get. Despite the fact that the original script for this was supposed to have the two leads from the second movie die at the end of this one, wrapping everything up as a complete trilogy, even those two more movies. So, we couldn't even do like a Alex died by getting hit in the head with a brick thing with these two. Apparently they just survived, which doesn't make sense. She shows Kevin the picture she took of Jason and the girls. She shows Kevin the rest of the photos then. And then Wendy drops the pictures and then proceeds to fall over. They say that Frankie was behind Ashley and Ashlyn. God. This entire thing was based on where they sat. Where they sat. Stupid. So they pull up to a drive-thru, and we see the Heist Pale Ale truck from the second movie behind them. A dude behind them honks because they're not going. The screen flashes, and the radio turns on a song that says, "There is someone right behind them." A truck is rolling down the hill with nobody driving. Kevin and Wendy try to get out of the truck, but the Heist Pale Ale truck slams into the side of them, and then proceeds to not drive forward. I don't know if he's supposed to be the drunk guy from the second movie, and he's drunk again, but I feel like you'd be able to tell, even if you're drunk. Neither can get out when they try to get the person in front of them, who is clearly Frankie, to drive forward. He flips him the bird. The car behind them pulls out, giving a clear shot for the truck to hit them. Kevin kicks out the windshield, and they both leap to safety just as the truck slams into Kevin's truck, sending it right into the back of Frankie's car. Against all laws of physics and reason, this impact launches the entire engine block straight into Frankie. The radiator fan, which is somehow still moving at an incredible speed despite now being disconnected from the gas lines, cuts his head open. None of this can happen in real life. You cannot have a vehicle slam into another vehicle that is stopped, mind you, and it send the entire engine out of the front of the vehicle, shooting it forward. That does not happen. You're not even trying anymore. Kevin picks up Frankie's necklace. They stand up to see Frankie dead. And then, because fuck it, we've already gone this far, the engine then turns over once more to drop Frankie's head forward. Because again, that's something that would totally happen. So we're down to just Kevin, Wendy, Ian, Aaron, and Lewis. Wendy and Kevin are looking through the photos. They skip over the shot of Ian aiming a gun at Aaron. There's a shot of Frankie with a fan next to his head. So that's when they realize, oh shit, the one that we took before Frankie, no, that one wasn't it. It was this one. You mean to tell me that you knew, you had more than one shot of this dude, and you focused on him on a fucking ladder, and you're like, well, that's it, he's gonna get hung. And then proceeded to not realize he was in front of you. Lewis is shown all the weight coming down on his head, but Kevin focuses on the Sultan, instead claiming that must be it. You guys thought Frankie was going to be hung. Maybe you should exhaust all options and realize that, hey, maybe it's the fucking weight coming down on his head. Kevin says he doesn't want to see his picture. Then he wants to know if it's something, if something is up his ass in the picture. So, yeah. So Death was just like, you know, fuck Order of Death. I've done that shit. That's old news. I'm just going to go with Whoops Had Wear. Which brings us to Lewis. Lewis is pumping iron because that's his character. He's a meathead jock. He says he doesn't blame them as a dude slams some weights down, which rocks the swords on the wall. Now, I thought they said the Sultans were the opposing team. The opposing team allows these guys to work out in their workout room? I guess. Some dude walks up and drinks some water, which falls all over the floor. A dude puts on some head PE on a radio, then he almost drops it in the water. Wendy starts to freak out as everyone around her is grunting. It's going to be her prom night. Lewis continues to work out and talk about how he is going to be a big sports ball player. Lewis slams the weights up, which causes the swords to swing down, cut the cords for the weights. Lewis says all he does is win. He does another rep, which sends both weight arms slamming into his head, popping it like a grape. At least this one was semi-plausible, albeit a little over the top. Wendy has an existential crisis about saving a bunch of people only for them to die. Wendy then asks Kevin to drive. Kevin should know that Ian and Aaron are next, but continues to worry that he's going to die right now. That's not how this works. Cut over to Ian loading a nail gun. His job is to kill pigeons with a nail gun. He proceeds to kill one of them before the rest take off. Aaron gets scared by Wendy and Kevin. And then, I never bothered to look this up, but Aaron and Ian call each other Pip and Zip. If someone can explain to me what the fuck that is, I'd be more than happy to find out. I'm not going to Google it. Aaron asks if she will OD on nail polish while Ian dies of embarrassment. The lights dim, but it's revealed to be Ian fucking around, which was actually funny. I actually laughed. They want to know who was sitting behind them on the roller coaster, which of course we did not see who was sitting behind them because these two people dropped from the coaster and we didn't see their faces. Wendy hears wind chimes going because the wind monster's back. Kevin screams at Ian to watch the boxes, and Ian just like freaks the fuck out, moves the fork truck over out of the way. It knocks into a bag of bird feed and launches it off, and Ian is just like, you said the boxes are falling. And it's an actual pretty like realistic reaction. But Ian is pretty laissez-faire about death as it is. He pushes around some boxes, which causes a box behind them to fall off the shelf. Aaron picks up a bunch of nails with a metal rod that's got a magnet at the end of it. So that's kind of a cool thing. And then she puts a magnet through the rack, which then catches on a metal chain. Kudos to these two 18-year-olds who are actually working hard. They spend this entire scene doing their job, cleaning up and doing things like that. Ian knocks into a shelf, which causes some caulk to drop, which causes a box to drop on the pedal of another fork truck. Another fork truck that's running, I guess. Because you need to turn a key to turn those on. Yeah. That fork truck starts driving and runs over a bunch of jugs. Ian slips and almost falls into a saw, which was a lot of fun. Aaron picks up the dead bird as Kevin starts to put away saw blades. So that whole scene with the dead bird, it plays no part in either one of those two deaths. So it was really weird that they had that. The fork truck gets hammers dropped on it, which then causes it to go into reverse. Ian explains that they can take action against death. He says the last in line should kill themselves. Now, we know this doesn't actually work, because we've watched somebody try to do it twice, and twice it hasn't worked. Wendy does not take him up on this, though. Actually, three times, because Eugene tried to do it in the last movie, and he had six blanks in his gun. A bunch of wood planks in the shape of the kill banner start to fall on top of Ian, but Wendy tackles him out of the way. But death is going for a twofer on this one, as a bunch of plywood falls on top of the three of them and launches sawdust at Aaron, who falls back into the nail gun, and she gets a shit ton of nails shot into her fucking face. She proceeds to cry out in pain before dying. And Ian screams as we cut away. Now that was a good death. I enjoyed that one. And it was one that was actually plausible, albeit a little Rube Goldbergian. The cops let Wendy go, but they look very suspiciously at her. Because Wendy apparently told the cops everything. Wendy realizes that Ian was now skipped. Somehow, Kevin is next, I guess. I don't know how they know this. But apparently they're like, yeah, Kevin's next. I guess. The movie doesn't even care at this point. They're just like, yeah, he's next, because he's not the main character. We see that Ian is in a van watching Wendy. Julie comes in to take her good luck charm bracelet, which we've talked about twice in this movie already, so apparently this is going to be important. This is when Wendy notices that the person in front of them is Julie. Dun dun dun! Why the fuck would Julie not ever mention that she was on the ride that her sister's boyfriend died on? Why, when they all had to get off of the ride, did Julie not go, hi Wendy, calm down, I'm here with you? And why, in the vision, when they were about to die, did Julie not say anything to her sister sitting behind her before she plummeted to her death? Kevin wants to look at the pictures now. Wendy is wearing a McKinley shirt, meaning that Ian will kill her. How would that make sense if Ian was supposed to be dead. If Ian is the cause of her death, he needs to be alive. Death doesn't want him to be alive. Death just tried to kill him. So how is it that the clue that she gets is that Ian is the cause of her death, when if she didn't save him, he'd be dead, and then not the cause of her death? What the actual fuck? Kevin's picture is when she took the flash really up close to his face, so he thinks he's going to die by a firework going off in his face. Wendy hears the "Someone is walking behind you" song and sees Ian following him. So each one of these movies has utilized a song. This movie, I mean, they didn't really utilize it. It should have been Love Roller Coaster, but the two girls were singing. But apparently for them, it's the "Someone is behind you" song, which is, I mean, at least they used the roller coaster song once. Highway to Hell was the last one which made sense. The first fucking movie uses John Denver, but doesn't use a song where he says he's leaving on a jet plane. They use fucking Rocky Mountain High is what they use. Which is just like, you have the perfect fucking opportunity, one of the most ironic songs out there, a dude who died in a fucking plane crash, sang a song about leaving on a jet plane, and you don't bother to use that song in the first one. Oh, she sees Ian is following her. Kevin is watching all the different ways that he can be burned alive. Instead of trying to find Julie, hey, fuckwad, she has to die before you do. Ben Franklin is also flying a kite and proceeds to say that hopefully the lightning will hit it. And Kevin says, fuck you, Ben Franklin. Kind of funny. Two kids are playing with sparklers and Kevin chases them away. Kevin finds Julie and her friends. Some Minutemen leave a cannon that they are by as we see two cops show up. A cannonball gets knocked off of the pile, flies, and takes out the block under the trailer with fireworks in it. You're going to light off fireworks from that trailer? That seems safe. Kevin gets stopped by the dead kid from Glee and his friend, and fireworks begin to go off, which spooks a horse. Why would you bring a horse to a place you're going to have fireworks in? Two kids have cherry bombs, which they light off at the horse's feet, because they're dicks. They proceed to go off, and it sends the horse into the crowd. The horse begins to run and knock people over, just very gently. It doesn't really trample anyone like it should. The horse runs over Kevin, and the rope that's around the horse's neck wraps around Julie's neck. Julie then gets dragged by the horse. She doesn't seem any worse for wear by this. She's just kind of like strung along. She's not even like anything like that. She's just like, oh no, I'm getting drug. The horse stops, but then gets going again. Kevin cuts the ropes before she can be impaled by some spikes. So that means that Julie has not been skipped over. Now Julie is freaking the fuck out as her friends run over, and Wendy runs over and trying to say, hey, which one of your friends was with you? Because, you know, they're about to die. Julie looks over as her friend stands up and gets impaled by a flag. The horse, who has now killed someone, is still free to run around. It kicks Kevin, and Kevin almost burns alive, but Wendy pulls him back. Ian then shows up. So now we've had Ian skipped, Julie skipped, Kevin skipped. So that means Wendy is next. And Ian brings up this fact. He says that Wendy is next. Ian then realizes that he must cause Wendy's death, like she caused Aaron's death. The fireworks blast off, and then they blow up a crane behind Ian, and the crane falls and cuts Ian in half. Ian is laying on the ground with his middle finger up, twitching. Care to explain? Care to explain why Wendy was not targeted? because she was next. And you're going to try to tell me that her dropping to the ground is what saved her? Because it didn't seem like anyone really intervened on that. And would the fireworks have really killed her? I don't think so. The only reason that Ian dies is because it blows up a thing behind him. But apparently we're just going to go with, I guess it skipped her. It skipped her and started back over again with the people that are left and killed Ian. Remember that. Remember that very fucking clearly. That as soon as it was done with the last person it was supposed to kill, that got intervened on, it started over again, just like it's done with many of the other two movies. 5 months later, and we're on a subway. Wendy is talking to two people. Some Neanderthal-looking guy is playing the Someone Is Walking Behind You song. And we find out the Wind Monster is also on the train. The train stops, and we see that it is train 081, which of course in the mirror is 180. The billboards are shown for a hardware store, a tanning salon, and Andy's something. I don't know what the fuck it was. She freaks out, and I had to ask the question of who the fuck are these two people with her? Okay, here we go. A candy bar is dropped on the tracks, and a rat starts to eat it. A bunch of sports fans get on the train, and Julie gets on with them. So now Julie and Wendy are both on the same train. Julie just says that Ian was going to cause her death and she intervened. But how exactly did that happen? Because I didn't see anything that was clearly anybody intervening on her behalf. Here comes. She then sees that Kevin is on the train. So these people believe that they are safe for the rest of their lives. They believe that this is all over, but Ian died. He's dead. If he did not die, then I could see you being like, oh, it just had to get through us once. And we all saved each other in some weird fucking ways, and now we're safe. But no, you physically watch this guy get sliced in half, and your thought isn't, we gotta make sure that Julie's okay because she's fucking next now, because it's skipped, because she's the next one in line after Ian. You're like, nope, we're safe, we're good. I don't know why I killed Ian, that seems kind of odd, but I guess that's not important. The rat gets electrified, and it causes the tracks to change, and the train starts to derail. The train then proceeds to cut itself in half. Julie gets blasted into a million pieces. Kevin slams into a window and gets scraped against the wall, killing him. The train is stopped, a ton of people are dead, and Wendy is shown in the wreckage. She is alive because she is unbreakable. Except that leg, which is broken. She proceeds to hear another train coming and is hit by it, but nope! It's another fucking vision. It's a vision that she cannot fucking do anything about. So what was the point? What was the point of that? Because she's already on the fucking train, they're already past the last stop that they're at. She has a vision that sends her back 10 seconds before she's gonna fucking die. Why? They then try to get the train to stop, but of course we cut to black and we hear a bunch of train crashing noises because that was just a big fucking massive fuck you. I'm gonna make you watch how you're gonna die, and then you're gonna die that way. And you know why you're gonna die? Because Ian was skipped and still got killed once everybody else was intervened on. So of course that means you're not safe. It skipped him. It skipped everybody else after him, and then circled back and got him. Why do you think it was not going to circle back and kill you? Also, in your research, you didn't happen to come across the story of Alex, Carter, and Clear all fucking dying after death had, after they succeeded in beating death? Fucking morons. I don't even fucking know anymore. Like, that movie had Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and she's a good fucking actress. Why was it written so terribly? Somebody please help me. Somebody please explain to me what the fuck I just watched. There's a difference between a bad movie and a movie that doesn't make sense. Because you can make a bad movie that's still entertaining. And like, this is entertaining. You're watching people die. But you have to turn off your fucking brain. Because I'm sitting here going, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. The first two fucking movies made perfect sense. And it was about death killing people. Death. Death is the bad guy in this. This movie where death is killing people, first of all, just pisses on the first two movies and is just like, whatever, I guess we kind of watched them. We skimmed the first one. And they're like, well, fuck it. We're just going to pretend that they have no fucking idea that they're not safe, even though they just watched the fact that they're not safe. If I knew that I died behind after Ian, and then proceeded to watch him get intervened upon, and then die again, I'm going to go and get my fucking last will and testament in order, because I'm about to fucking die. And even if someone intervenes on me, it's just a matter of time before it comes back around to me again. Because that's what this whole fucking movie is about. This entire series is about the fact that you cannot escape death. Alex did it for months. Him and Clear kept saving each other. Until finally he got fucking killed. And then she got killed. And why the fuck did death proceed to kill 27 people on a train to take out 3 fucking idiots? That seems kind of cruel. That's why I didn't crash the plane in the fucking first one. The second time when they're going to Paris, because they're fucking idiots. Because it's like, well, these people are not supposed to die. We got guns.